أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أوصيكم نفسي بتقوى الله. Dear brothers and sisters, in a hadith from Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, بادروا بالأعمال فتنة كقطع من الليل المظلم يصبح الرجل مسلما ويمسي كافرا ويمسي مسلما ويصبح كافرا. Hasten to the good deeds or to the deeds. There are going to be fitan, which are translated as trials, tests and tribulations. I'm going to go into that in a minute to explain it a bit more. These fitan are going to be like dark nights. A man or a person would wake up, start his day as a Muslim, but end the day as a kafir, and would end his day as a Muslim, and by the next morning he becomes a kafir. In another narration of the same hadith or a similar hadith, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, تكون بين يدي الساعة فتن كقطع من الليل المظلم يصبح الرجل فيها مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا ويمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا يبيع آخرته بغرض من الدنيا. Towards the end of time, there are going to be fitan, like bits of dark nights. A person in this would wake up in the morning, start his day mu'minan. The first hadith was musliman. In this hadith is mu'minan, a believer. By the end of the day, he turns into a kafir. وَالْعَيَادُ بِاللَّهِ وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا. He goes to bed at night while he's a believer, and by morning time he becomes a kafir. He sells everything for some worldly gains. The Quran tells us, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا يَقُولُوا أَمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that they will say we are believers without being tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We have tested those before you. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah will test you so that He can know who of you are the genuine ones and who of you are the ones who are telling lies. Now, before I go any further, because we're going to be talking about fitan mainly in this khutbah, I'd like to explain what does the word fitna mean. The origin of the word fitna is in the Arabic language, where to purify gold, they put it into very high temperatures in fire, so that when this happens, the gold is yuftan. Yuftan means that all the impurities will float, and the real gold, the pure gold, will stay at the bottom. The higher the grade of purity of gold, the higher the temperature. So this is the origin of the word fitna. So the higher the position Allah wants to elevate you to, the higher, the stronger the test you have to go through. And if you pass the stronger test, you are clarified, you are purified from impurities, and you become a higher grade of gold, inshallah, your heart at least. Now, Abu Huraira narrated a very interesting hadith, which is what we want to talk about today. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَتَكُونُ فِتَنٌ. There are going to be fitan, which we just explained. Al-qa'idu fiha khayru min al-qa'im. Those who are sitting down will be better than those who are standing up. والقائم فيها خير من الماشي. And those who are standing up are better than those who are walking. والماشي فيها خير من الساعي. And those who are even walking are better than those who walk towards the fitan. ومن تشرف بها استشرفته. And whoever tries to get himself into it, it will suck it. It will suck him into the fitna. فمن وجد فيها ملجأ أو ملاذا فليستعد بهما. So whoever finds a sanctuary or an escape from fitan, then escape. Don't get involved in fitan. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked by the Sahaba, you know, but these fitan, they can be quite hard, very difficult to deal with. The Prophet told them, those who were before you, in كان في أمم قبلكم ينشر الرجل بمن عشير من رأسه إلى قدمه. They used to saw a person from head to toe, saw them into two pieces. لا يثنيه ذلك عن قول لا إله إلا الله. He would not change his belief and would not stop saying لا إله إلا الله. He would rather be sawn in two rather than fall into the fitna. Now, we've seen in history a lot of these fitan, some of which are quite serious. For example, the great fitna that occurred between Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib and Sayyidina Muawiyah in the early days. We all know about it. We all heard these stories. Now, when this fitna happened, the Sahaba went to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, who was the Prophet's uncle, and they told him, O Prophet's uncle, which side are you going to be fighting with? Which side are you going to be backing? The side of Ali ibn Abi Talib or the side of Muawiyah? And he replied, find me a sword that will not kill a Muslim, but will kill an invalid, if he'll kill a kafir. Meaning, find me a sword that will not make me transgress. Meaning, if I'm quite clear about who is right and who is wrong, by all means I will fight. But if I'm not quite sure, I will not get involved in that. Al-Hasan al-Basri, who is one of the second generation, was asked, when he was asked about the fitna that occurred, the great fitna between Sayyidina Ali, who was right and who was wrong? And this is something that still happens nowadays. You find a lot of people going into this, the fitna, who was right? Sayyidina Ali was right. No, it was Muawiyah. Sayyidina Aisha, why did they do that? And people who don't even know the history, people who are ignorant, get themselves into these discussions. Now listen to what Al-Hasan al-Basri said when he was asked about it. Who was right and who was wrong? And he replied, fitnatun tahhar Allahu minha aydina, fa'ima nulawwith fiha afwahana. Allah has blessed us by keeping our hands clean from this fitna. We did not take part in it. We did not go and kill anybody. Why should we dirty our mouths by talking about it? And this is a sort of advice that goes to all of us nowadays. We should not go into talking about the fitna kubra, who was right and who was wrong. All the Sahaba of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were blessed people. And if they had differences, if there were problems there, it's not for us to discuss it or to go into it. Now, some people might say, okay, that's great, but why are we discussing that? You know, this is all in the good old days, the fitna, the great things were happened before. We live in fitan every day. Because fitan comes in all sizes and all sorts. It's not just the big fitan that we can see here, the ummah going through, Muslims being killed left and right, Muslim fighting Muslim, what's happening in Syria, in Iraq and all over the world. These are major fitan, but there are other fitan that each and every one of us goes through every day in our lives. For example, at the workplace, somebody will come and whisper in your ear, have you heard about the latest, what's happened? You know, this person, you know, the boss and the secretary had an affair. So you go around and you start talking about it and transferring these words. What are you doing? You're backbiting. You are falling into a fitna. At home, you have a problem with your wife or your children. If you do not treat it the way Allah has advised us, you are falling into a fitna. In organizations, between friends, there can be differences and there can be things that go wrong. Again, if we don't like if we don't let Allah and His rulings guide us, then we can easily fall into a fitan. Another thing is, of course, somebody would say, the hadith that you narrated from Prophet Muhammad was talking about towards the end of times. It's towards the end of time that there are going to be all these fitan. And here's another hadith that's very interesting. It's a long hadith that talks about alamat akhir zaman. What are the signs of the end of times? And one of the signs that was explained to us was yataqarabu zaman, fayakunu al-amu kal-shahr, wa yakunu al-shahru kal-jum'a, wa takunu al-jum'atu kal-yawm, wa yakunu al-yawmu kawamdatin sa'fa. Towards the end of time, time is going to run out very, very quickly, so that a whole year will feel like a month, and a month will feel like a week, and a week will feel like a day, and a day will feel like a flash. Do we not all have these feelings? Do we not all feel that time is really going very, very quick? Can you believe that Ramadan is going to be in a few weeks? We were just celebrating Ramadan, and yet a whole year has passed before we even know it. I'm sure that you notice that whether you're a believer or not, whether you're a Muslim or not, everybody feels that time is passing very, very quickly, which is a clear sign that we are towards the end of time or coming into the end of time. And this is why it is the time where fitan are going to be everywhere. Now, we need some guidance from the Quran as to what do we do, because some of the fitan are quite clear. If it's a fitan between, one side that is wrong and one side that is right, it's easy enough. But what happens if two groups of Muslims or two groups of mu'mins, two groups of believers have a problem with each other? What do we do? How do we, how do we deal with it? Which side should we take? The Quran says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اَخْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ فَاءَتْ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ وَأَقْسِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. So if two parties of believers fight or go to fight against each other, try to make peace between them. But if one of them transgresses, then fight the transgressor until it reverts to Allah's commands. And if it does not revert, and once it reverts, then make peace between them, but be just. And this is the important thing. This is the main thing in this ayah. Be just and equitable. For Allah loves the equitable. So, just hypothetically speaking, if two groups of Muslims or believers were actually fighting each other, and you know that this group is the transgressor, so you're going to, obviously not you, but Wali al-Amr, if there was, the person in charge, should get the Muslims to fight the transgressor until the transgressor accepts the truth. Now, once they do that, then that's it. It's the end of the story, end of the problem. And you should not, because you were fighting this transgressor, and this transgressor might have been fighting you back, and they might have hurt you, make sure that you don't let this get into your actions. You must be fair, you must be equitable. The Quran tells us, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً فَأَصْلُحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Surely the believers are none but brothers unto one another. So set things straight between your brothers and have fear, have taqwa of Allah, that you may be shown mercy. So if you want to be shown mercy by Allah, you must be fair, you must be equitable. The way you deal in differences, the way you deal in problems between two groups of Muslims, you should be fair and you should be equitable. Or if not, then you should stay away. So, for argument's sake, if there are two groups of Muslims And we see that, for example, happening now in Syria and in other places who are fighting each other. What are the possibilities? There are only one of three possibilities. Either that one is a transgressor and the other one is on the right, or both sides are transgressors, or both sides are non-transgressors, but they just have different interpretations of a problem. So this ayah tells us how to deal with it. If one side is a transgressor, then you know which side you side with. If both sides are transgressors, then you should advise them and make sure that they know what the right path is. If both sides, however, are misled, which can happen quite often, you know, both sides have got a very valid argument, then in this case, you must mediate between them. You must intervene between them. You must try to show them what's right and what's wrong and what's Allah's way. The side that accepts the mediation then is the side that's a non-transgressor. And the side that does not accept the mediation becomes the transgressor. And that's how you deal with it. Now, it's a big subject. I'm just touching on the surface. But it's important for us all to realize that when the Hadith and the Quran talks about fitan, talks about these trials and tribulations, it is not just things that happen theoretically, it is not things that happen to other people, it is things that happens to each and every one of us in our daily life on different levels. And it's important to know how to deal with them because they can be very misleading. On the other hand, if we deal properly with it, they can be a chance for us to be purified and become like pure gold. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Now, just before I go any further, I just want to remind you all that as of this week, hopefully, we will be starting our prayers a bit earlier, about 1:05, and hopefully the prayer will end by 1:30, the khutbah will end by 1:30, and the prayer should be finished by 35 or 40 past. So this is going to be the rule from now onwards. So please try to come here a bit early if you can. And please tell everybody who's not here that this is going to be the plan. We're going to be finishing earlier every week, inshallah. Now, to move on from what we're talking about, the next logical question is, what do we do? How do we avoid all these tribulations? How do we avoid all these fitan? How do we deal with them? And the Quran has got many, many advices to us. I'm not going to be able to go through them all today, but I'm just going to give you a taster of what can be done, and maybe in some other khutbahs, inshallah, we'll touch on it in more details. So if you go to Surah Al-Hujurat, for example, that's one surah in the Quran, you will find several advices. One of them, يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. O you who believe, and whenever the Quran addresses, O you who believe, you must think, am I a believer? Yes, I am. Then Allah is talking to me, and to me personally. Whenever the Quran says, O you who believe, if you consider yourself a believer, then Allah is talking to you. He's giving you a straight, direct order. It's not an advice. It's an order. So, O you who believe, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. If somebody comes and gives you some news, tells you something about somebody else or whatever, investigate first. Because you might take action that you would regret after that. You might harm somebody and then you would regret it after that. In the same surah, Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا. The same again. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا. You, me, hopefully, inshallah, we are believers. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إذ. Avoid lots of doubts. Some of this can be إذ. Some of this can be wrong. ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا. And do not spy, do not snoop on each other. ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا, and do not backbite each other. أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه؟ واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. Would you like to eat the dead flesh of your brother? This is what backbiting amounts to. Would you like to eat the dead flesh, not even the flesh of your live brother, the dead flesh of your brother? This is what backbiting is. This is what we all fall into. We start talking about people. And once you mention somebody's irb, al-irb, by the way, is anything that affects the person's credibility. It's not only sexual credibility, but financial, everything. Once you touch on somebody's reputation, once you talk about somebody, you have transgressed. You have become what Allah is advising us, what Allah is ordering us to avoid. أَيُحِبَّ أَحْدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ. So this is just one example or two examples from many, many in the Quran. And this is from only one surah. If we talk about Surah Al-Hujurat, subhanAllah, we can talk for hours and hours and hours about orders. I wouldn't call them advice. It is orders from Allah to the believers. And just to finish very quickly, because the time, as we said, we have to finish by 1:30. A lot of people misunderstand what is ghaiba, what is ghiba. Ghiba, backbiting, is talking about your brother behind his back, your brother and your sister, of course. Now, if you talk about somebody, because this is the hadith that the Sahaba asked the Prophet, but you know, even if it isn't him, so if we say somebody, for example, eats too much, he does do that. He says it is ghaiba. This is ghaiba. If you talk about somebody behind his back mentioning something that he would not like, although it is true. And they said, what about if I talk and, you know, accuse him of something that's not in him? This is not ghaiba. This is even a step worse than that. Right? So ghaiba, by definition, is talking badly about or talking about something that the person wouldn't like you to talk about behind his back. It's not telling a lie behind his back. If you tell a lie behind his back, that's a different story. And we maybe, as I said, we'll go into that in some other khutbah, inshallah. So be careful. I think, in my humble opinion, this is one of the biggest fitan that we are all subjected to day in, day out. We talk about other people behind their backs. We accuse other people of things behind their backs without really knowing. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه غفور رحيم. اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك اللهم لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت فإنك سبحانك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا وألزم قلوبنا حفظ كتابك كما علمتنا واشرح به صدورنا ونور به قلوبنا وأطلق به ألسنتنا واجعلنا نتلوه كما تحب وترضى وكما يرضيك عنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. عباد الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم. وأقم الصلاة يرحمك الله. الله أكبر الله أكبر.